This is Studio One at CBS. The Columbia Broadcasting System invites you to Studio One for the sixth broadcast in a new series of hour-length versions for listening of celebrated stories, novels, and plays. We introduce the director of Studio One, Fletcher Cole.
First, as to our story. Tonight, it's a comedy. You're going to spend a weekend with the Bliss family, four of the most improbable people you've ever met. Judith, the mother, who used to be a great actress and still is. David, the father, who used to write bad novels and still does. And their grown-up, but not very, offspring, Sorrel and Simon, who never got used to doing anything and still haven't. There are a few well-authenticated examples of the Bliss family to be found in England's reluctantly picturesque countryside and the wilds of darkest Long Island or out in Carmel, California. But the race is vanishing. We have these peculiar people with us tonight, however, and also their startled weekend guests. The whole affair is called Hay Fever. No one quite knows why. And our author, who assembled it from pure froth and tinsel, is Noel Coward. And now our players. Listeners, meet the Bliss family.
Judith.
Evelyn Varden.
David.
Everett Sloan.
Sorrel.
Ann Burr.
Simon.
William Woodson. Please to begin.
From Studio One, CBS presents Hay Fever by Noel Coward.
Library.
Library!
Well, why didn't you say so? What on earth are you doing? Where have you been?
I've been right here. I've been drawing.
Why do you always kneel on the floor when you're drawing, Simon? Does it look better, slouching over the paper that way?
Of course.
I'll watch you from the armchair. Oh, I'm absolutely exhausted.
What have you been doing?
Reading poetry. But it gets so hot up there in my room. I loathe Saturday afternoons, don't you? They're so tentative.
It's the weather. June is a tentative month, Sorrel, dear.
You didn't shave this morning.
I'm going to in a minute when I finish this caricature.
Well, hurry. Finish it and talk to me like a nice brother ought to.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
Simon, I wish we were more normal and bouncing.
Why?
I'd like to be a fresh, open-air girl with a passion for sporting things.
Thank goodness you're not.
It would be so soothing.
Not in this house.
Where's Mother?
In the garden, practicing.
Practicing?
She's practicing learning the names of the flowers by heart.
I always distrust Mother when she becomes the well-informed, out-of-doors lady.
Mm.
She's been at it hard all day. She tapped the barometer this morning, twice.
She's probably got a plan about impressing somebody.
I wonder who.
If I know Mama, some dreary, infatuated young man will appear soon, I expect.
Not today. You don't suppose she's asked anyone down today, do you?
I don't know. Has Father noticed anything?
No, Father's much too deep in work on his new book.
Well, perhaps Clara will know. She usually knows everything.
Yell for her.
Clara? Clara!
Oh, Simon, I do hope she hasn't invited a guest.
Why, have you?
Yes.
Well, who is it?
Richard Grattan. He's a very well-known diplomat. He's English.
Oh, Mother will like that.
I met him at the Websters.
He'll need all his diplomacy in this establishment.
I warned him not to expect good manners, but I hope you'll be as pleasant to him as you can.
I've never met any diplomat, Sorrel. Will he have the papers with him?
What papers?
Oh, any papers. Diplomatic secrets and all that.
I wish you'd confine your biting irony to your not very good caricatures, Simon.
And I wish you'd confine your girlish infatuations to New York and not force them on your defenseless family.
I'll keep him out of your way as much as possible.
Please do, darling.
You were shouting for me, Mr. Simon?
I was calling, Clara. Has Mother asked anyone here this weekend?
I don't know, dear. There isn't much food in the house, and Amy's got a toothache. I've got some oil of cloves somewhere.
Well, she tried that, but only burned her tongue.
You haven't forgotten to put those flowers in the Chinese room, have you, Clara?
Oh, the room looks lovely, dear. You needn't worry. Just like your mother's dressing room on the opening night.
Oh, how restful.
Have you told her about your boyfriend, Miss Sorrel?
Not boyfriend, Clara.
Oh, well, whatever he is.
I think Sorrel's beginning to be ashamed of us all, Clara, and I don't altogether blame her. We are very slapdash.
Well, whatever you are, there isn't much food in the house for guests.
Thank you, Clara, dear.
You're right about us being a slapdash family, Simon. I wish we weren't.
That's not our fault. It's the way we've been brought up.
We're so awfully bad-mannered.
Not to people we like.
The people we like put up with it because they like us. We never attempt to look after people when they come to our home. We've never once asked anyone if they've slept well.
I consider that an impertinence anyhow.
I'm going to try to improve my manners.
You're only going on like this because you've got a mania for a diplomat. You'll soon return to normal.
Abnormal, Simon. That's what we are. Abnormal. People stare in astonishment when we say what we consider perfectly ordinary things. They all think we're mad.
Well, it's no use worrying, darling. We see things differently, I suppose. And if people don't like it, they can lump it.
Hello, you two.
Here's Mother. Hello, dear.
Hello.
You look awfully dirty, Simon. What have you been doing?
Not washing very much.
Look at all the flowers. Such an armful.
Yes, aren't they lovely? I just put them down here till I get things to put them in. You should wash more, Simon, really. It's so bad for your skin to leave things about on it.
Clara says Amy's got a toothache.
Poor dear. There's some oil of cloves in my medicine cabinet. Who's Amy?
The new kitchen maid, I think.
Really? Delphiniums are those stubby red flowers, aren't they?
No, darling mother. They're tall and blue.
Yes, of course. The red ones are somebody's name.
Asters?
Asters. That's it. I knew it was something opulent. Well, I'm going to sit down for a while.
That's about all there is to do on Saturday afternoon.
I do hope Clara has remembered about the Chinese room.
What about the Chinese room?
I told her to put some flowers in it and Simon's underwear out of the wardrobe drawer.
So did I.
Why?
I've asked Richard Gretham out for the weekend. I didn't think you'd mind.
Mind? Sorrow? How dared you do such a thing?
He's a diplomat.
That makes it much worse. You better phone and put him off at once.
It's too late.
Oh, well, we'll tell Clara to say we've been called away.
That would be very rude. Anyhow, I want to see him.
You mean to sit there in cold blood and tell me you've asked a complete stranger out for the weekend and that you want to see him?
I've often done it before.
I fail to see how that helps matters. Where's he going to sleep?
The Chinese room.
Oh, no, he isn't. Sandy Tyrrell is sleeping there.
There now, Sorrel. What did I tell you?
Sandy what?
Tyrrell, dear. He's a perfect darling and madly in love with me. At least it isn't me, really. It's my celebrated actress, Glamour. But it gives me a wonderfully cozy feeling. I met him at Olive Scott's.
Mother, I wish you'd give up this sort of thing.
What exactly do you mean by this sort of thing, Zorro?
You know perfectly well what I mean.
Are you attempting to criticize me?
By now, I'd have thought you'd be above encouraging silly, callow young men who are infatuated by your name.
Anybody would think I was 80 the way my children go on. It was a great mistake not sending you to boarding schools and you coming back and me being your elder sister.
Well, it wouldn't have been any use, darling. Everyone knows we're your son and daughter.
Only because I was stupid enough to dandle you about in front of cameras when you were little. I knew I should regret it.
No, I don't see any point in trying to be younger than you are.
At your age, dear, it would be indecent if you did. You will be nice, Sandy, won't you? Both of you.
Can't he sleep in little hell?
My dear Sorrel, Sandy's very athletic, and all those water pipes in that dreadful little room would sap his vitality.
They'll sap Richard's vitality, too.
He won't notice them. He's probably used to scorching tropical embassies with pung cars waving and everything.
Anyhow, the Chinese room's a woman's room, and a woman ought to have it.
I promised it to Sandy. He loves anything Chinese.
So does Myra.
Myra?
Myra Arundel. I've asked her out.
You what?
I've asked Myra out for the weekend. She's awfully amusing.
Do you mean to tell me, Simon?
I do, Mother. I do indeed. You've always brought us up to be free about things.
Myra Arundel is straining freedom to its utmost limits. You know perfectly well I dislike her. That's why you never told me she was coming till too late to stop her. That's very naughty of you.
Whether she's here or not is a matter of extreme indifference to me. But I'm afraid Richard won't like her very much.
You're afraid he'll like her too much.
Oh, you both upset me thoroughly. I wanted a nice, restful weekend, and now the house is going to be full of discord. I wish I were dead.
Well, you needn't worry about Myra and me. We'll keep out of everyone's way.
I'll take Richard out on the Sound all day tomorrow.
In what?
The boat.
I absolutely forbid you to go near the boat.
It's sure to rain anyway.
What your father will say, I tremble to think he needs complete quiet to write. He's finishing off the new book, you know, The Sinful Woman.
I see no reason for there to be any noise, unless Sandy, what's-his-name, is the boisterous sort.
If you're rude to Sandy, I'll be very angry.
Now, look, he's coming all the way out here. Oh, hello. Here's Father.
And why not?
David, dear.
Please tell me why you're all making such a noise.
I think I'm going mad.
Why hasn't Clara brought me my sandwiches?
I don't know.
Where is Clara?
Do stop firing questions at me, David.
Why are you all so irritable? What's happened?
Oh, Mr. Bliss, here you are. I went to your room. Here's your beer and sandwiches. I'm sorry I'm late. Amy's got a terrible toothache.
Poor girl. Give us some oil of cloves.
If anyone else mentions oil of cloves, I'll do something desperate.
Here, Clara, I'll take the tray.
Yes, Mr. Bliss.
Thank you. Now, I'll take it upstairs with me. And don't anybody disturb me, please. Oh, I forgot, Simon. There's a perfectly sweet little girl coming out on the 4:30.
Huh?
Will you go and meet her and be nice to her?
Me?
She's an abject fool, but an interesting and useful type. I want to study her a little in domestic surroundings. She can sleep in the Chinese room. See you all later.
Oh.
Oh. I should like someone to play something very beautiful to me on the piano.
What does Father mean by going on like that?
In view of our prospective guest meeting, you better go and shave, Simon.
It's just awful. Whenever I make any sort of plan about anything, it's always done in by some member of the family. I wish I were earning my own living somewhere, a free agent, able to do what I like without being cluttered up and frustrated by relatives.
It grieves me to hear you say that, Sorrel.
Don't be infuriating, Mother.
A change has come over my children of late.
This is going to be the blackest weekend we've ever spent.
Sorrel, you mustn't cry.
Don't sympathize with me. It's only temper.
There, there, dear.
Richard will have to sleep in little hell, and Father's silly guinea pig, whoever she is, will get the Chinese room.
Over my dead body.
Mother, what are we to do?
We must all be very, very kind to everyone.
Oh.
You know, I'm going to forget entirely all about these dreadful people arriving. My mind henceforth will be a blank on the subject.
It's all very fine, Mother, but you're their hostess.
I made a great decision this morning.
What kind of decision?
It's a secret.
Aren't you going to tell us?
Oh, of course, I meant it was a secret from your father.
What is it?
I'm going back on the stage.
I knew it. I knew it.
I'm stagnating here.
Do you think it's wise? You retired so very finally last year. What excuse will you give for returning so soon?
My public, dear. Letters from my public. They demand it.
Have you had any?
One or two. That's what decided me, really. I should have had hundreds.
You will be dignified about it all, won't you, darling?
Oh, I'm much more dignified on the stage than out here on Long Island. Think of the thrill of a first night and the critics the morning after, the satisfied grunt of the Times, the disciplined gurgle of the Herald Tribune, and the shrill, enthusiastic scream of the Daily Mirror. Oh, I can distinguish them all.
Have you got a play?
I think I'll revive Love's Whirlwind.
Oh, Mother.
Father will be furious.
I can't help that.
It's such a terrible play.
I know, but it's a marvelous part for me, and the public love it. Remember this. You're a fool, a blind, pitiable fool. You think because you've bought my love that you have bought my soul. Now, you must say that's dramatic.
Oh, it makes me laugh.
And remember this, I've dreamed of love like this, but I never realized how beautiful it could be. Oh, that line always brought a tear to my eye.
Well, the second act is the best. There's no doubt about that.
From the moment Victor comes in, it's strong, tremendously strong. Be Victor a minute, Sorrow.
You mean when he comes in at the end of the act?
Yes, you know. Is this a game?
I know. Is this a game?
Yes, and a game that must be played to the finish.
Sorrow, what does this mean?
So many illusions shattered, so many dreams trodden in the dust.
I'm George now. I don't understand. You and Victor... Oh, no.
Isn't that little Pam crying?
She'll cry more, poor mite, when she realizes her mother is...
No, don't say it! Wouldn't you know, there's the front door.
I look hideous.
Yes, where's Clara?
Oh, here she comes. Clara, before you open the door, we shall be 8 for dinner.
8? It's impossible.
And for breakfast, lunch, and dinner tomorrow.
Will you get various rooms ready, Clara?
I'll have to. They can't sleep in the hall.
Well, hadn't you better let them all in?
Yes, yes. Please come in, sir.
Thank you.
Why, it's Sandy Tyrrell.
Hello, Judith. It's good to see you. It's wonderful of you to let me come out.
Are you alone?
Yes.
I mean, you didn't meet anyone else at the station?
I drove up. My car's outside. Would you like me to meet anybody?
Oh, yes, I must introduce you. This is my daughter, Sorrel, and my son, Simon.
Oh, how do you do?
I'm extremely well, thank you, and I hope you are.
So do I. I do indeed.
Well.
You must forgive me for having rather peculiar children.
Yes.
Would you like a drink?
No, thanks. I'm in training.
How lovely. What for?
I'm boxing again in a couple of weeks.
I must come to your opening night. Do sit down here beside me.
All right. You look fine.
I'm so glad. You know, you mustn't mind if Simon and Sorrel insult you a little. They've been very bad-tempered lately.
Oh, it's very funny, you having a grown-up son and daughter. I never did until last week.
I liked you from the first, really, because you're such a nice shape.
Am I?
Oh, lovely broad shoulders and small hips.
I wish my son had smaller hips. Do you think you could teach him to box?
If he liked.
Well, that's just the trouble. I'm afraid he won't like. He's so dreadfully on that sort of thing. You must use your influence subtly. I'm sure David would be pleased.
Who's David?
My husband.
Oh.
Why do you say, oh, like that? Didn't you know I had a husband?
I thought he was dead.
No, he's not dead. He's upstairs.
You know, you're quite different from what you were the other day.
I've been pruning the calceolarias.
Have you?
I love my garden, you know. It's so peaceful and quaint. I've always longed to leave the brittle glamour of cities and theaters and find rest in the country. That's why we came to Long Island.
I see. But it's not far.
Have you ever seen me on the stage?
Oh, sure.
What in?
That thing when you pretended to cheat at cards to save your husband's good name.
Oh, the bold deceit. Yes, but that play was never quite right.
Oh, you were swell. That was when I first fell in love with you.
Was it really?
Yes, you were so very pathetic and brave.
Was I?
You sure were.
Well, go on.
Oh, well, I feel like a fool telling you what I think, as though it mattered.
Of course it matters. To me, anyhow.
Does it? Honestly?
Certainly.
Well, it seems too good to be true, sitting here and talking as though we were old friends.
We are old friends. We probably met in another life, a reincarnation, you know. Fascinating.
You do say wonderful things.
Do I? May I have a cigarette?
Oh, of course. I'm sorry. There you are.
Thank you. And let's put our feet up.
All right. Light.
Thank you. Can you sail a boat, Sandy?
Sort of.
Oh, you must teach Simon. He always gets hit by the boom.
I'd rather teach you.
Oh, dear.
Is anyone else coming to stay?
Anyone else? You don't know. You just don't know. Clara.
All right, dear. All right.
You said it would be quiet. With nobody at all.
I was wrong. It's going to be very noisy with herds of angry people stamping about.
Judith!
Myra!
My dear, isn't this divine?
Too lovely. Where are the others?
What others?
Did you come at the 4:30?
Yes.
Didn't you see anybody at the station?
Yes, several people, but I didn't know they were coming here.
Well, they are.
Well, how do you do? It's useless to wait for introductions with the Blisses. My name is Myra Arundel.
How do you do?
Sandy Tyrrell, Myra Arundel, Myra Arundel, Sandy Tyrrell, there.
Is that your car outside?
Why, yes.
Well, Judith, I do think you might have told me someone was driving down. A nice car would have been so much more comfortable than that horrible train.
I never knew you were coming till a little while ago.
Oh, it's heavenly here off New York.
Personally, I feel I'm about to have a nervous breakdown.
My dear, how awful. What's the matter?
Nothing's the matter yet, Myra, but I have presentiments. Come upstairs, Sandy, and I'll show you your room.
All right.
I'll send Simon down to you, Myra. He's shaving, I think, but you won't mind that, will you?
Simon. Myra, this is marvelous. I've never seen anybody so worthy of being kissed.
No, Simon, dear, now don't. It's too hot.
You look beautifully cool.
I'm more than cool, really. But it's not climatic coolness. I've been mentally chilled to the marrow by your mother's attitude.
Why? What did she say?
Nothing very much. She was bouncing about on the sofa with a hearty young thing in flannels and seemed to resent my appearance entirely.
Oh, you mustn't take any notice of Mother.
I'll try not to, but it's difficult.
She's annoyed today because Father and Saul have been asking people down without telling her.
Oh, poor dear. I quite see why.
Oh, you look enchanting.
Thank you, Simon.
Are you pleased to see me?
Of course. That's why I came.
Oh, darling.
Now.
Oh, I feel most colossally temperamental. I should like to kiss you and break everything in the house and then jump into the sound.
Dear Simon, you are so colorful.
You're everything I wanted to be. Absolutely everything. Marvelous clothes, marvelous looks, marvelous brain. Oh, it's terrible. Darling, I adore you.
That's right.
Oh, but you're callous. That's what it is, callous. You don't love me a bit, do you?
Love is a very big word, Simon.
It isn't. It's tiny. What are we to do?
What do you mean?
We can't go on like this.
I'm not going on like anything.
Yes, you are. You're going on like Medusa. There are awful snakes popping their heads out at me from under your hat. I'll be turned to stone in a minute, and then you'll be sorry.
You're very sweet, and I'm very fond of you.
Well, tell me what you've been doing, everything.
Nothing. Come and kiss me.
Ah, you're only playing up to me now. You don't really want to a bit.
I'm aching for it.
love you.
This weekend's going to be strenuous.
Torture. 15 million people in the house. We'll get up at 7 and go sailing.
The idea is repulsive.
No, don't let either of us agree on anything. We'll both be difficult. I love being difficult.
You certainly do.
But I'm in the most lovely mood now. Just seeing you makes me feel grand.
Is your father here?
Yes, he's working on a novel.
He writes brilliantly.
And doesn't he, though?
Who is Sandy Tyrrell?
Never heard of him.
He's here as your mother's guest.
Ignore him. You smell heavenly. What is it?
Borgia of Rosine.
How appropriate. Kiss me again. Oh, such timing. Here we go again.
Not more people.
More and more and more people.
Is this Mrs. Bliss's house?
This is it.
Is Miss Sorrel Bliss in?
She's around somewhere. I'll see if I can find her.
It's Richard Gretham, the diplomat, and some girl father wants to scrutinize.
Good afternoon. You're Sorrel's brother, I presume.
Hello. Did you have a nice journey?
Yes, thank you. Very nice. This is Miss Corriton. We met at the station and introduced ourselves while we were waiting for the only taxi to come back.
Hello?
Oh, I took the only taxi.
Mrs. Arundel, how'd you do? I never recognized you.
I did.
Why? Have we met somewhere?
No, I meant I recognized you as the one who took the taxi.
Sorrel, we'll be down in a minute. Just make yourselves at home. Let's go out into the garden, Myra.
But, Simon, we can't.
Yes, we can, and we're going. I shall go mad if I stay in the house a moment longer.
See you later.
Well, how do you like that?
Strange young man.
Very rude, I think.
Have you ever met him before?
No. I don't know any of them except the older Mr. Bliss. He's a wonderful person.
I wonder if he knows your hair.
Well, perhaps that funny woman who opened the door will tell him.
Well, let's hope so. Now, allow me to take your coat. It was fortunate that we met at the station.
Oh, I'm glad. I'd have been scared stiff arriving all by myself.
I do hope the weather will keep good over Sunday. The country around here is delightful.
Yes.
Nothing like the summertime, is there?
No, there isn't, is there?
There's a sort of quality about summer.
You're a diplomat. Have you traveled a lot?
A good deal.
How nice for you.
Mexico is very beautiful.
Yes, I've always heard Mexico was awfully nice.
Except for the bullfights. No one who ever really loved horses could enjoy a bullfight.
Nor anyone who loved bulls, either.
Exactly.
What about Europe? Italy's awfully nice, isn't it?
Oh, yes, charming.
I've always wanted to go to Italy.
Rome is a beautiful city.
Yes, I've always heard Rome was lovely.
And Naples and Capri. Capri's enchanting.
It must be.
Have you ever traveled at all?
Oh, yes. I went to Niagara Falls once.
Pleasant place, Niagara Falls.
Oh, yes, it was lovely.
Fun as sprawling about in the garden on a day like this.
It's certainly a day for it. Oh, hello there.
Oh, let me hold the door for you, Judith.
Well, was that her?
Who?
Judith Bliss.
Yes, I expect it was.
She just walked right through the room and out, and she didn't even look at us. Oh, I wish I'd never come.
Well, you mustn't worry. They're a very bohemian family, I believe.
I wonder if Mr. Bliss knows I'm here.
I wonder.
Oh, I feel awful.
It's always a little embarrassing coming to a strange house for the first time. You're like Sorrel. She's charming.
Oh, but where is she?
I don't know, I'm sure. Would you like a cigarette?
Yes, please.
There you are.
Thank you.
My lighter's out of fuel and I haven't a match, I'm afraid.
Oh, Richard, have you been waiting?
Sorrel.
I didn't know you were here.
We arrived quite some time ago.
Please forgive me. I was upstairs.
This is Miss Corriton.
Oh.
How do you do?
Have you come to see Father?
Yes.
He's in his study. You better go up.
I don't know the way.
Oh, well, I'll take you. Come on. Wait a minute, Richard. It's along the hall up there in the third door on the right.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You know, that poor girl looks half-witted.
She's shy, I think.
I hope Father will find her a comfort. Do sit down, Richard.
Tell me one thing, Sorrel. Did your father and mother know I was coming?
Oh, yes. They were awfully pleased.
A rather nice-looking woman came down in a big hat and went into the garden with a young man without saying a word either to me or Miss Curriton.
That was Mother, I expect. We're an independent family. We entertain our friends sort of separately.
Oh, I see.
It was sweet of you to come.
I wanted to come. I've thought about you a lot.
Have you really? That's thrilling.
I mean it. You're so alive and vital and different from other people.
I'm so frightened that you'll be bored here.
Bored? Why should I be?
Oh, I don't know, but you won't be, will you? If you are, tell me at once and we'll do something quite different.
You're rather a dear, you know.
I'm not. I'm devastating, entirely lacking in restraint. I'd love to be beautifully poised and carry off difficult situations with a lift of the eyebrows.
I'm sure you could carry off anything.
There you are, you see? Saying the right thing. You always say the right thing, and no one knows a bit what you're really thinking. That's what I adore.
I'm afraid to say anything now, in case you think I'm only being correct.
But you are correct. I wish you'd teach Simon to be correct, too.
It'd be uphill work, I'm afraid.
Why? Don't you like him?
I've only met him for a moment.
Hmm. What shall we do?
I'm quite happy talking to you.
Can you play gin rummy?
No, I'm afraid I can't.
I'm so glad. I do hate it so.
It's starting to rain, I think.
Oh, dear, everyone will come dashing into the house now. How awful. Are you sorry you came, Richard?
Not at all.
Do you know where to wash if you want to?
No, but I'm all right.
Hello, Sorrel. How are you?
I'm fine. Myra, do you know Mr. Gradham?
Oh, yes. We've met several times.
Come on, Myra.
Well, well, well. Look at all the people. Does everybody know everybody?
I don't.
Simon, come and be nice to Miss Corrigan.
We've met already, Father.
Well, that's no reason for you not to be nice to her.
How do you do, Mr. Bliss?
How do you do? Are you staying here?
I hope so.
You must forgive me for being rather indefinite, but I've been working hard.
Father, this is Mr. Gratham.
How are you? When did you arrive?
This afternoon.
Good. Where's your mother, Simon?
In the garden.
Sandy Turrell's with her.
Oh, well, she's all right then. Who is he?
I don't know.
Oh. Well, do sit down, everybody.
I felt sick this morning.
Oh, here's Mother now.
This is Sandy Tittle. Sandy, everybody.
Mother, I want you to meet Mr. Gratham.
Oh, yes, you were here before, weren't you?
Before what, darling?
Before we went out in the garden. But there was somebody else here, too. A fair girl. Oh, there you are.
Hello.
How do you do? Well, do sit down, Sandy.
Oh, sure.
What a pity it's raining. We might have had some tennis.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not at all.
The train was awful crowded coming down.
Thing, don't you?
Well, I guess we're all here now. Aren't we?
Yes. Isn't it exciting? I'm very fond of weekends. Aren't you?
This is Studio One at CBS, presenting its sixth broadcast in a new series of hour-long feature productions, Hay Fever by Noel Coward. Our story will resume after a pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Continuing Columbia's new full-hour feature series, Studio One, we present the second half of Noel Coward's comedy of country life, Hay Fever.
Stop! Stop! Please, let's
stop all this. It's too soon after dinner for word games.
Any time is too soon for word games.
What's the use of playing at all if people won't do it properly?
It's much too strenuous. I can't digest my dinner.
It's so simple.
It's very difficult if you haven't done it before.
You're so right, Mr. Tyrrell.
Never mind. Go on to the next one.
Unless everyone's in it, we won't play at all.
Now, don't lose your temper, dear sister.
Lose my temper? I like that. No one's given me the slightest indication of what the word is. You all argue and squabble.
Talk, talk, talk. Everybody talks too much.
Well, yes. It's so surprising to me when people won't play up. After all, it's only a game.
Well, it's a silly game anyhow, and I don't want to play it anymore.
You haven't played it at all yet, Miss Carlton.
Don't be rude, Sorrow.
Really, Simon, the way you go on is infuriating.
Oh, it's always the same. Whenever she says it, she gets quarrelsome.
Quarrelsome?
Don't worry, Jackie. You needn't do anything you don't want to.
I think for the rest of the weekend, we better confine our efforts to social conversation and not attempt anything in the least intelligent.
Oh, how can you be so unkind, Mother?
Simon, don't speak to me like that.
It's all my fault. I know I'm silly, but it embarrasses me doing anything in front of people.
I beg your pardon, Miss Corriton.
Oh, why Miss Corriton all of a sudden? You've been calling her Jackie all evening. You're far too grand, Sorrow.
And you're absolutely maddening. I'll never play another game with you as long as I live.
Well, that won't break my heart.
Stop, stop, stop.
Come on, out into the garden, Jackie. I'm sick of all
this. Yes, so am I.
Don't let him take you out sailing, Jackie. He isn't very good at it.
Ha, ha! Very funny.
Sorrel, you're behaving disgracefully.
Always happens whenever we play a game. We're a lousy family, and I hate us.
Speak for yourself, dear.
I can't, without speaking for everyone else, too. We're all exactly the same, and I'm ashamed of us. Come on into the library, Sandy.
Whatever you say, Sorrel.
Charming. It's all perfectly charming.
There, Myra. You know, I think it would be better, Judith, if you exercised a little more influence over the children.
You ought never to have married me, David. It was a great mistake.
The atmosphere of this house is becoming more unbearable every day. And all because Simon and Sorrel are allowed to do exactly what they like.
You sit upstairs all day writing your silly novels.
Silly novels which earn us our daily bread.
Daily bread? Nonsense. We've got enough money to keep us in comfort till we die.
Yes, and that will be very soon if we can't get a little peace. Let's go out into the garden, Myra.
Practically everybody is in the garden.
I sincerely hope the night air will cool you.
I don't know what's happened to you lately, Judith.
Nothing's happened to me. Nothing ever does. You're far too smug to allow it.
Smug, thank you.
Yes, smug and pompous.
I hope you haven't been drinking, dear.
Drinking? That's very amusing.
I think it's rather tragic at your time of life. Come along, Myra.
Mr. Gretham, I'm sorry you've had to sit through all this.
Oh, please don't be sorry.
David's been a good husband to me, but he's wearing a bit thin now. Marriage is a hideous affair altogether, don't you think?
I'm really hardly qualified to judge, you see.
Stop being the noncommittal diplomat just for once.
I'm sorry.
There's nothing to be sorry for, really, because after all, it is your particular thing, isn't it?
I suppose it is.
You'll get used to us in time, and then you'll feel cozier. Well, why don't you sit down?
I'm enjoying myself very much, you know.
It's very sweet of you to say so, but I don't see how you can be.
Oh, but I am.
There now, that was quite a genuine laugh. We're getting on. Are you in love with Sorrel?
In love? With Sorrel? I?
Now I've killed it. I've murdered the little tender feeling of comfort stealing over you by sheer tactlessness.
Did you really think I was in love with Sorrel?
It's so difficult to tell, isn't it? I mean, you might not know yourself. She's very attractive.
She is, very.
It's awfully sad for a woman of my temperament to have a grown-up daughter, you know, who will eventually cut me out altogether.
That wouldn't be possible.
I do hope you mean that, because it was a sweet remark.
Of course I meant it.
Now then, tell me all about yourself and all the things you've done.
I've done nothing.
What a shame. Why not?
I never realize how dead I am until I meet people like you. It's depressing, you know.
What nonsense. You're not a bit dead.
Do you always live here?
I'm going to from now onwards. I intend to sink into a very beautiful old age.
You're far too full of vitality to sink into anything.
It's entirely spurious vitality. If you trouble to look below the surface, you'd find a very wistful and weary spirit.
I should like to know exactly what you're thinking about. Really?
I was thinking of calling you Richard. It's such a nice, uncompromising name.
I should be very flattered if you would.
I won't suggest you calling me Judith until you feel really comfortable about me.
But I do, Judith.
I'm awfully glad. Will you give me a cigarette?
Oh, certainly.
Oh, what a divine case.
It was given to me in the Orient. All those little designs mean things.
What sort of things?
Well, charms for happiness, luck, and love.
Which is the charm for love?
That one.
What a dear.
Richard, you mustn't kiss me.
I'm afraid I couldn't help
what
it.
What are we to do? What are we to do?
I don't know.
David must be told everything.
Everything?
Yes, yes. There come moments in life when it's necessary to be honest.
Honest?
Absolutely honest.
Oh, no.
I've trained myself always to shun the underhand methods other women so often employ.
Yes.
The truth must be faced fair and square.
The truth? I don't quite understand.
Dear Richard, you want to spare me, I know, but it's no use.
No.
After all, David has been a good husband to me. This may, of course, break him up, rather, but it can't be helped.
Look, please.
They say something's good for writers. It strengthens their psychology. You better go out into the garden and wait.
Wait? What for?
For me, Richard, for me. I will come to you later. Wait in the summer house. I had begun to think that romance was dead, that I should never know it again. Before, of course, I had my work and my life in the theater, but now...
Look here, Judith,
but
I apologize for what
you
I did.
Have come and it's all changed. It's magic.
Oh,
I'm under a spell that I never thought to recapture again. Go along, out to the garden.
But you
don't make it any harder for me. It's the only possible way. Go! Sorrow? Sorrow, where are you, dear? Are you in the library, dear? Sorrow, are you... Oh, my Sorrow!
Really?
But now, look here, Mother. We were only...
Sorrow, what am I to say to you?
You know, Mother.
Neither do I.
It was my fault, Mrs. Bliss. Judy.
What a fool I've been. What a blind fool.
Mother, are you really upset?
I'm stunned.
There was nothing, really, for heaven's sake.
Nothing? I opened the library door casually, and what do I see?
I'm very sorry.
It has gone beyond superficial apologies.
Mother, be natural for a minute.
I don't know what you mean, Sorrow. I'm trying to realize a very bit of truth. As calmly as I can.
There's nothing so very bitter about it.
My poor child.
Very well, then. I love Sandy and he loves me.
That's the only possible excuse for your behavior.
Why shouldn't we love each other if we want to?
Sandy was in love with me this afternoon.
Not real love. You know it wasn't.
I know now.
Look, I'm really very sorry.
There's nothing to be sorry for. It's my fault for having been so ridiculous. I'm getting old, and the sooner I face it, the better.
But, darling...
It's far from easy at my time of life to simply accept...
Oh, that stuff. Here we go again. Mother. Mother, say you understand and forgive me.
Understand? You forget, dear, I am a woman.
I know you are, Mother. That's what makes it all so poignant.
Sandy, if you want Sorrel, truly, I give her to you unconditionally.
Thanks. Thanks very much, Mrs. Bliss.
You are splendid, Mother.
Nonsense. I just believe in being honest with myself. It's awfully good for one, you know. So cleansing. Well, I'm going upstairs now to have a little aspirin. Oh, youth, youth. What a strange, mad muddle you make of things.
All right, Sandy, don't look so gloomy. I know you don't love me, really.
But honestly,
Sorrel... Don't protest. You know you don't any more than I love you.
But you told Judith...
I was only playing up. One always plays up to Mother in this house. It's a sort of unwritten law.
Didn't she mean what she said?
No, not really. We none of us ever mean anything.
Well, she seemed awfully upset. It
must have been a slight shock for her to discover us clasped tightly in each other's arms.
I believe I do love you, Sorrel.
You kissed me because you were awfully nice and I was awfully nice and we both liked kissing very much. But, Sandy, you're under absolutely no obligation to me at all.
I wish I understood you better.
Never mind about understanding me. Let's go back into the library.
Oh, all right.
And, you see, he comes in and finds her there waiting for him.
She hadn't been away at all.
No, and that's psychologically right, I'm sure. No woman under those circumstances would.
It's brilliant of you to see that. I do think your book sounds excellent.
Well, I got badly stuck in the middle of the book when the boy comes down from Dartmouth, but it worked out all right eventually.
When shall I be able to read it?
I'll send you the proofs. You can help me to correct them.
How divine. I'll feel most important.
Would you like a cigarette or anything?
No, thank you.
Well, I think I'll have a drink.
Very well. Give me some plain soda water then, will you?
Oh, there isn't any ice. Do you mind?
Not at all. I never care for ice. In any form.
All right. Here you are.
Thank you. I wonder where everybody is.
Not here, thank heavens.
It must be dreadfully worrying for you, having a house full of people.
Never give it a thought.
I have a confession to make.
Confession?
Mm-hmm.
I was invited here once before, you know, last September.
Oh, I was in California then.
Exactly.
How do you mean exactly?
I didn't come. I'm a very determined woman, you know, and I made up my mind to meet you ages ago.
Oh, that was charming of you. I'm not much to meet, really.
You see, I'd read your Broken Reeds.
Did you like it?
Like it? I think it's one of the finest novels I've ever read.
Why are you being so nice to me? Have you got a plan about something?
How suspicious you are.
Well, I can't help it. You're very attractive, and I'm always suspicious of attractive people on principle.
Not a good principle.
I'll tell you something, strictly between ourselves.
Please do.
You're wrong about me.
Wrong? In what way?
I write very bad novels.
Don't be so ridiculous.
And you know I do because you're an intelligent person.
I don't know anything of the sort.
Tell me why you're being so nice to me.
Because I want to be.
Why?
You're a very clever and amusing man.
Oh, splendid.
And I think I've rather lost my heart to you.
Shall we elope?
David.
There now, you've called me David.
Do you mind?
Not at all.
I'm not sure that you're being very kind.
What makes you think that?
You're being the simple author, laughing up his sleeve at a gushing admirer.
I think you're a very interesting woman and extremely nice looking.
Do you?
Yes. Would you like me to make love to you?
Really? I wish you wouldn't say things like that.
You're magnificent. You're tawny.
I'm not tawny.
Don't argue.
Oh, this is sheer affectation.
Affectation's very nice.
No, it isn't. It's odious. It's literary.
You mustn't get cross.
I'm not in the least cross.
Yes, you are. But you're very alluring.
Alluring?
Terribly.
I can hear your brain ticking. It's very funny.
That was rather rude.
You've been consistently rude to me for hours.
Never mind.
Why have you?
I'm always rude to people I like.
You like me?
Enormously.
How sweet of you.
But I don't like your methods.
Methods? What methods?
You're far too pleasant to occupy yourself with the commonplace.
And you spoil yourself by trying to be clever.
Thank you.
Anyhow, I don't know what you mean by commonplace.
You want me to explain?
Not at all.
Very well, I will.
I shan't listen.
You'll pretend not to, but you'll hear every word, really.
No, you're so inscrutable and quizzical. Just what a feminine psychologist should be.
Yes, aren't I?
You frighten me dreadfully.
Darling.
Don't call me darling.
That's unreasonable. You've been trying to make me call you darling all evening.
Your conceit is outrageous.
Oh, it's not conceit at all. You've been firmly buttering me up because you want a nice little intrigue.
How dare you?
Sit down now. It's true. If it weren't, you wouldn't be so angry.
I think you're insufferable.
Myra, dear Myra.
Don't touch me.
Let's have that nice little intrigue. The only reason I've been so annoying is that I love to see things as they are first and then pretend they're what they're not.
Words. Masses and masses of words.
Well, they're great fun to play with.
I'm glad you think so. Personally, they bore me stiff.
Myra, don't be statuesque.
Let go my hand.
You're charming.
Let go my hand.
I won't.
You will.
For that, my dear, you shall be kissed.
Dave.
You're perfectly sweet.
Oh, Dave.
You must say it's an entrancing amusement.
Forgive me for interrupting.
Judith.
Oh, hello, Judith, dear.
This is a very unpleasant situation, David.
Terrible.
We'd better talk it all over.
I shall do nothing of the sort.
Please, please, don't be difficult.
I apologize, Judith.
June has always been a lucky month for me.
Look here, Judith, I'd like to explain one thing.
I don't want to hear any explanations or excuses. They're so cheapening. This was bound to happen. Sooner or later, it always does to everybody. The only thing is to keep calm.
I am, perfectly.
There is such a thing as being too calm.
Oh, sorry, dear.
Life has dealt me another blow, but I don't mind.
What did you say?
I said life had dealt me another blow, but I didn't mind.
Rubbish.
David, I've known for a long time, I've realized subconsciously for years that you've stopped caring for me in that way.
What do you mean, that way?
Just that way. It's rather tragic, but quite inevitable. I'm growing old now. Men don't grow old like women, as you'll find to your cost, Myra, in a year or two.
This is all ridiculous hysteria.
No, Myra, Judith is right. What are we to do?
Do nothing.
Do you love her truly, David?
Madly.
David!
You thought just now that I was joking. Couldn't you see that all my flippancy was only a mask, hiding my real emotions, crushing them down desperately?
But, David, I really...
knew it. The time has come for the dividing of the ways.
What on earth do you mean?
I mean that I am not the sort of woman to hold a man against his will.
David doesn't love me madly, and I don't love him.
You do love him. I can see it in your eyes and your every gesture. David, I give you to her. Freely.
We must all be good friends, always.
Judith, do you mean this?
You know I do.
Well, how can we ever repay you?
Just by being happy.
But what about the children?
Oh, really?
We must share them, dear.
I'll pay you exactly half the royalties I receive from everything, Judith.
That's very generous of you.
You behave magnificently. This is a crisis in our lives, and thanks to you...
Judith, I will speak. I will.
Myra, darling, we owe it to Judith to keep control of our emotions. The scene would be agonizing for her now. Come, we'll go out in the garden.
I will not go out into the garden.
Please go. I don't think I can bear any more just now.
So, this is the end, Judith?
Yes, my dear. The end.
Mother, I've got something very important to tell you.
Very well, dear.
Where's Sorrow?
In the library, I'm afraid.
Sorrow, come out. I've got something vital to tell you.
Ah, you seem excited, my boy. What's happened?
What on earth's the matter?
I wish you wouldn't all look so depressed. It's good news.
Good news? I thought perhaps Jackie had been drowned.
Oh, Jackie hasn't been drowned. She's been something else.
Simon, what do you mean?
Jackie, come on in.
Yes, Simon, you calling me?
Jackie has become engaged to me.
Simon!
Good heavens!
Simon, my dear, all this is too much.
Well, what on earth are you crying about, Mother?
All my chicks leaving the nest. Jackie, come and kiss me. Oh. You must promise to make my son...
Oh, but Mrs. Bliss, I
understand I have not been a mother for nothing.
But it's not true. We don't, Simon.
You're trying
just,
to spare my feelings, I know.
Well, I'm not going to spare your feelings or anyone else's. You are the most infuriating set of hypocrites I've ever seen.
Myra!
Don't speak to me! I've been working up to this, only every time I open my mouth, I've been mowed down by theatrical effects. You haven't got one sincere or genuine feeling among the lot of you. It's a great pity you ever left the stage, Judith. It's your rightful home. You can rant and roar there as much as ever you like.
Rant and roar. May you be forgiven.
And let
I'm
me
not
tell
going
you
to allow you to say another word.
No,
you don't seem to grasp our thing.
Is this another game?
Yes, Richard, yes. And a game that must be played to the finish.
Zara, what does this mean?
So many illusions shattered, so many dreams trodden in the dust.
It's love's whirlwind. Dear old love's whirlwind.
I don't understand. You, Victor? Oh, no. Isn't that little Pam crying?
She'll cry more, poor mite, when she realizes her mother is
her... Don't say it! Don't say it!
Dare her that.
I've given you all that makes life worth living. My youth, my womanhood, and now my child. Would you tear the very heart out of me? I've nothing left. Nothing. Where am I to turn for help?
Is this true? Answer me, is this true?
Yes, yes.
You cur.
Don't strike. He is your father.
Well, Mother, don't carry this too far.
She's fainted.
How lucky she is.
Good morning, Sandy.
I guess we're the first down, hmm?
It looks like it.
Is there any food?
Yes, it's on the sideboard. Lots of things.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Oh, gosh, don't cry.
It's this house. I've been sitting at the breakfast table for nearly half an hour, and there's nobody around at all.
Oh, well, they're sleeping late, I guess.
I wish I'd never come. I had horrible nightmares with all those fearful dragons crawling across the walls.
Dragons?
Yes. I'm in a Chinese room. Everything in it is Chinese, even the bed.
How awful.
I think they're all mad.
The Blisses?
Yes. They must be.
I've been thinking that, too.
Do you suppose they know they're mad?
No. People never do. Are you really engaged to Simon?
Oh, no. I hope not.
Well, you were last night.
So were you to Sorrow?
Not really. We talked it over.
I don't know what happened to me. I was in the garden with Simon, and he was being very sweet. And then he suddenly kissed me and rushed into the house and said we were engaged, and that terrible mother of his asked me to make him happy.
Well, that's exactly what happened to me and Sorrow. Judith gave us to one another before we knew where we were.
Oh, how awful.
I like Sorrow, though. She was wonderful about it afterwards.
Oh, I think she's a cat.
Why?
Look at the way she lost her temper over that game.
Well... All the same, she's better than the others.
Well, that wouldn't be hard. I beg your pardon.
Oh, gosh. I've got the hiccups.
People have died from hiccups, you know.
Have they?
Yes, an aunt of mine had them for 3 days without stopping.
Gosh.
She had to have the doctor and everything.
I think mine will stop soon.
Oh, I hope they will.
Oh.
Drink some water the wrong way around.
Well, how do you mean the wrong way around?
Well, the wrong side of the glass. I'll show you. Oh, there isn't any water.
Well, perhaps coffee would do as well.
I've never tried coffee, but it might. Here, I'll pour you some.
What do I do?
Well, tip it up and drink from the opposite side, sort of upside down. Oh, look out. Somebody's coming. Bring it into the library quick.
All right. Oh, gosh.
Good morning, Richard.
Myra, good morning.
Are we the first down?
No, I don't think so. Some things have been used on the table here.
Isn't this rain miserable?
Falling.
Can I pour you some coffee?
Yes, please.
Have you seen anybody?
No.
Good, we might have a little peace.
Have you ever stayed here before?
No, and I never will again.
I feel far from well this morning.
I'm so sorry, but not entirely surprised.
You see, I was assigned to sleep in the boiler room.
How terrible.
The window stuck, and I couldn't open it. Nearly suffocated. And the pipes made peculiar noises all night as well. Did the whole family have breakfast in bed?
I neither know nor care. What's that?
It came from the library.
Oh, what was that? What happened?
It's someone in the library, I think, Clara.
In the library? Let's have a look. Here, what's going on? What are you doing?
Good morning. I'm afraid we've broken a coffee cup.
Was there any coffee in it?
Quite a bit, I'm afraid.
Oh, let me look. Oh, dear, all over the
It was my fault. I'm very sorry.
Oh, how did you come to do it?
Well, you see, he had the hiccups, and I was showing him how to drink upside down.
How ridiculous.
Well, thank goodness it wasn't one of the Crown Derbies.
They've gone now, anyhow. My hiccups, I mean.
It was the sudden shock, I expect.
Mrs. Arundel?
Yes?
What are you going to do about today?
Oh, nothing, except go to New York by the first train possible.
Do you mind if I come, too? I don't think I could face another day like yesterday.
Oh, neither could I.
Well, let's all go away, quietly.
Would it seem a little rude if we all go?
Yes, it will. You and Miss Corriton must stay, Mr. Tyrrell.
I don't see why.
I don't think they'd mind very much. Listen, Jackie, I'll take you up in my car as soon as you like.
All right, fine.
Oh, you have got a car, haven't you?
Yes.
Will it hold all of us?
You said it would be rude for us all to go. Hadn't you and Mr. Gretham better go on the train?
Certainly not.
If there is room, we should be very, very grateful.
I think I can squeeze you in.
Then that's settled.
Well, when shall we start?
As soon as you're ready.
Come on, Jackie. We'll finish our packing.
All right.
Here, don't leave me. I'll come with you.
I'll just go out and look at the car. Will you all be ready in 5 minutes?
Yes, in 5 minutes.
Good morning, Clara. Have the papers come?
They're at your place on the table, dear, as usual.
Thank you. You haven't forgotten my orange juice, have you?
No, dear. It's in the icebox. I'll get it.
Oh, the lovely Sunday papers.
Morning, Mother, darling. Morning. How are you?
Lovely, dear. And you?
Hmm.
Well, listen to this. We saw Judith Bliss in a box at the ballet last Thursday, looking as beautiful as ever. Oh, there now. I thought I looked hideous on Thursday.
You looked sweet. Here's your orange juice, dear.
Thank you.
Oh, I wish I was sitting on a lovely South Sea island with masses of palm trees and coconuts and turtles.
It would be divine, wouldn't it?
I wonder where everybody is.
I wonder. Oh, this is interesting. Mary Saunders has got another failure.
Good morning, darling. Look at my new drawing.
Simon, how lovely. When did you do it?
This morning. I woke early.
Let's see.
I'm going to alter Helen's face. It's too pink.
It's exactly like her.
What a clever son I
have. Oh, now then, Mother.
It's too wonderful when I think of you both in your perambulators. Oh, dear, it makes me cry.
I don't believe you ever saw us in our perambulators.
I don't believe I ever did.
Hello, good morning, dear. Sorrel, Simon.
David, dear.
My book's finished. Look, these are the last pages.
Splendid, dear. Read it to us now.
Yeah, this is the last chapter.
Go on, then. Who's that at the front door?
Oh, good morning.
Oh, it's Sandy.
Excuse me, I'm expected upstairs.
I seem to know that boy's face.
Well, never mind. Listen now, you remember that bit when Violet was taken ill in Paris?
Yes, dear. Marmalade, please, Simon.
Well, I'll go on from there.
Do, dear.
Paris in spring, with the Champs-Élysées alive and dancing in the sunlight. Lightly dressed children like gay painted butterflies.
Here's the marmalade, Mother.
Simon, keep quiet or go away.
Sorry, Father.
Well, don't interrupt again. Gay painted butterflies. The streets were thronged with hurrying vehicles. The thin peek-peek of taxi horns...
I love
...seemed
peek,
to merge in with the other vivid noises, weaving a vast pattern of sound, which was Paris.
What was Paris, dear?
Which was Paris? You can't say a vast pattern of sound, what was Paris?
What was Paris?
A vast pattern of sound, which was Paris?
Oh, I see.
Jane Sefton, in her scarlet Hispano, swept out of the Rue Saint-Honoré into the Place de la Concorde.
She couldn't have.
Why?
The Rue Saint-Honoré doesn't lead into the Place de la Concorde.
Yes, it does.
You're thinking of the Rue Boissy d'Anglais, Father.
I'm not thinking of anything of the sort.
David, darling, don't be obstinate.
You think I don't know Paris as well as you do?
Never mind. Father's probably right.
He isn't right. He's wrong.
Go on with your food, Sorrow.
Don't be testy, David. It's a sign of age.
Jane Sefton, in her scarlet Hispano, swept out of the Rue Saint-Honoré into the Place de la Concorde.
That sounds absolutely ridiculous. Why don't you alter it?
It isn't ridiculous. It's partly right.
Very well, then. Get a map and I'll show you.
We haven't got a map.
You've got it all muddled.
Look here, Father. Mother's right. Here's the Place de la Concorde.
Oh, shut up, Sorrow.
Shut up yourself, you pompous little beast.
You think you know such a lot about everything, and you're as ignorant as a frog.
Why a frog?
I'll never attempt to read you anything again as long as I live. You're not a bit interested in my work, and you don't care a minute whether I'm a success or a failure.
Well, you're dead certain to be a failure if you cram your books with inaccuracy.
I am not inaccurate.
Yes, you are, and you're foul-tempered and spoiled.
Spoiled? I like that. Nobody here spoils me. You're the most insufferable family to live with.
No, why in heaven's name don't you go and live somewhere else?
Mother, keep calm.
Calm? I'm furious.
What have you got to be furious about? Everyone rushing around adoring you and saying how wonderful you are.
I am wonderful. Heaven knows who stood for you for all these years.
Mother, do sit down and be quiet.
How dare you speak to Mother like that?
Oh, to think my daughter should turn against me. I'm wounded to the heart.
Rubbish, rubbish, rubbish.
Don't you say rubbish to me.
I will say rubbish.
Mother.
Oh, all right, you listen to me, daughter.
Well, now, what was that?
Oh. Is that the welcome sound of departing guests?
Yes, they've all gone. All of them.
How do you know, dear?
I can see the window. The car's full.
Fine.
How very rude of them.
People do behave in the most extraordinary manner these days.
Come back and finish your breakfast, Zorro.
I haven't started it yet.
Well, start then. Go on, David, darling. I'm dying to hear the end.
Jane Sefton, in her scarlet Hispano, swept out of the Rue Saint-Honoré into the Place de la Concorde.
The Columbia Broadcasting System has brought you Studio One, a new series of hour-length versions for listening of celebrated stories, novels, and plays. Tonight from Studio One, you have heard Fletcher Markle's script and production of Hay Fever by Noel Coward. The original music was composed and conducted by Alexander Semler.
Now, a brief who was who. May a producer identify the principals of tonight's cast. In the Bliss family...
Judith.
...was Evelyn Vardon.
David.
Everett Sloan.
Sorrow.
Was Ann Burr.
Simon.
William Woodson. The guests were Joan Alexander, Susan Douglas, Donald Buca, and Hedley Rennie. Eva Condon was Clara. Next Tuesday night from Studio One at CBS, a very powerful story of man in conflict. Long praised and much neglected, Stephen Crane's magnificent masterpiece, The Red Badge of Courage. A portrait of a long ago time of war, with an important point for our time of peace. And now, until next week, until the Red Badge of Courage, this is Fletcher Markle with a good night and thank you from all of us in Studio One.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.